Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, Imam Yusuf Salam. Assalamu alaikum, Imam Yusuf Salam.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I clicked you in to go to start speaking. I was wondering, because it's 7 o'clock. Are you ready to go?
Yes, I'm ready. I didn't hear anything, so I hung up and called back.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my mistake. I usually, when my father's not here, sometimes, I have a guest, I just click the person in and I just let him go. Because, you could do that from the computer or your phone or whatever. But that's my mistake. You can, whenever you're ready.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
With Allah's name, the praise and thanks is for Allah. We thank Him for the gifts and blessing of the model human person, Muhammad, peace be upon him, the honorable and noble servant and messenger of God. And what follows of that salute or that traditional salutation to the last prophet, the seal of the prophets, and mentioned in the Bible as it is given in Al-Quran. Dearly beloved audience, we greet you in the greeting of peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum. And we would like to continue in our line of discussion, debunking the myth of Ham and reflecting on the life of a blessed Imam. It's been quite a few weeks in terms of commemorate, in terms of contemporary American and recent history. And the Imam, our blessed Imam, once said that you don't know a brother until you work with him. Once you work with him, you can get to know him. But that's also true of a believer. We cannot really know Allah until we understand his works, until we know how he works. And that means how he works in the bigger cosmic plan and scheme, not just how he works when he bless us with something we need personally and we call on him for assistance. He may bless us with a good mate. He may bless us with a blessing of monetary assistance. He may bless us with knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And we can see him working in our lives personally. All that's good. But we really don't know the might, the power, and the strength of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until we see his work in the bigger scheme of the sons and daughters of Adam on this planet, because the shaitan is always projecting to the human being and suggesting to the human being that somehow he is a rival to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of controlling the affairs of this planet. So it's very interesting in this day of Yom Din, day of Yom Kiyamah, where we see the Quranic prophecy being fulfilled, that everything in this day and time will be speaking to us, and everything will be flowing with commotion, followed by oft-repeated commotion. And the believers of old, when they saw Allah's work being manifested and demonstrated right before their eyes, that made their faith firm, and they would respond, "This is what Allah promised us." And for the believers, if we see what's happening in the world today, we can, if we understand the works of our Lord, if we're seeing the works of our Lord, we can readily proclaim, and even give him a claim. This is what our Lord promised us. This is what our Lord told us. This is what our Lord committed to establish before us in this day and time. Every event becomes a revelation establishing that Almighty God is fully in charge of his affairs. He's fully in charge of his affairs. And we can, by the grace of God, start with a little seedling event where the son of Ham, President Barack Hussein Obama, working with the Castro brothers in Cuba, the land of the Cuba symbolizes the universal social man that's represented by the Hajj in the cube, the Kaaba, being brought to the heart of the Western Empire. And Raul in scripture is, or Jethro is one who Musa, peace be upon him, escaped. And Raul or Jethro told him, "Where have you escaped from an unjust? Where have you escaped from an unjust people?" Unjust in what sense? A refusal to give Musa, peace be upon him, and the children of Israel social justice. Refusing to allow them to live in Egypt on the system of social justice. So they escape to the land of Raul and Jethro, and he told them, "Where have you escaped from an unjust people?" The Christian faith, the traditional Orthodox doctrine, rooted in the ancient pattern of Isis, where social justice, the son of Binyamin, is eclipsed by an overly spiritualized, icy, cold-blooded doctrine that does not give social justice to the masses. And we're faced with that reality. The communist people of the Western world say, if the church doesn't provide blood or social life for the masses, we will create a system of red blood communism and bring justice to the masses, making mockery, traditional Christianity, refusal to bring Benjamin along with Joseph, the spiritual aspect of the Christian doctrine. So Cuba was a country of diversity when it came to ethnicity. Many were of the African background, and they attempted to bring to the West the justice that had been denied as a result of European imperialism, colonialism, and ICN-based, cold-blooded, non-social-oriented religious doctrine. The universal man of Mecca, symbolized in the blacks, the original nature of Adam, represented in Mecca, who would be resurrected on 60 span. But Cuba was merely a sign of the need to bring social justice to the disenfranchised and the socially oppressed third world people of the globe. And they brought it within 90 miles of America. But it was not their destiny. It was not Fidel. That name Fidel is related to faith or loyalty. It was not Raul's destiny to bring about divine picture-based social justice to the suffering wretched of the earth, as Franz Fanon suggested. That job was put in the hands of the blessed Imam when God gave him the Quran, gave him the understanding of the role of social justice, social science, and social consciousness as half the religion. Marriage is half the religion. Come and cultivate the individual life. Come and cultivate the community life. Prayer in Jamaat is 27 times better. Emphasizing life or community life. So it was not the destiny of Cuba to fulfill that goal of bringing social justice to the wretched of the earth. It was the resurrection of Adam on 60 span that would bring this social justice to the masses. And the rise of African-American Islam would be the key to the unfolding of that destiny until it produced a leader like Imam Waruddin Muhammad. So, it was one under the influence of this son of Ham, this blessed Imam, Waruddin Muhammad, President Barack Hussein Obama, who the Imam himself represents, here represents the Hajj. See how Allah works? This man who Imam Muhammad said represents the Hajj was the one who was able to bring Cuba into the fold of civilized nations. But in time, he's going to be used as an instrument to forge the conditions in the West where the Cuban mission of bringing social justice to the masses will be completed with the expression of Abrahamic way of life in general and African-American Islam in particular. Look at the marvelous work of our Lord. Now, that little seed incident tied us into many, many developments. They called the Cuban Revolution the July 26th movement. This is coming from a student of Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad. Judge his work by the fruit that was born from his mission. Ignorant donkeys being influenced by his work to speak with a man's voice. And I cast down the gauntlet of any leader in this country, secular or so-called sacred, to challenge one sentence as to what we're bringing today. This July 26th movement in 1959, the same year that the Nation of Islam was pushed forward when Mike Wallace and Louis Lomax arranged the first public disclosure of the phenomenon called the Nation of Islam on the media production, the hate that hate produced. The July 26th movement. More on that later on. Flag of America was taken down in 1961. Let me express with you some of the things that happened in that year. That's very, very, very important in terms of what has happened on this planet since. In the spring of that year, in the winter of that year, January 1961, President Dwight Eisenhower warned the American people to be aware of the military-industrial complex. In most of what we see in American government and politics now moving in the direction of blind plutocracy and trumped-up non-democratic government as symbolized by Donald Trump, and his belief that we can use the military-industrial conflict, apparatus, to go in the Middle East, as he said, the oil from ISIS, and make them do what he wants them to do. We see him and many of these other folks advocating rigid use and wild and insane use of the U.S. military might. This is what a general, most of these men have never fought in the military, Donald Trump included, but one of our most decorated American heroes, President Dwight David Eisenhower, told us to be aware in 1961. Of the military-industrial complex. Barack Hussein Obama's president, very Adam Fitcher-based policy, which opts for peace first. That's the nature of the human being, to want peace. The Muslim is one who finds peace. Al-Islam is the religion of peace. So this one is rooted in the harsh, like original nature of Adam. He opts for primarily diplomacy over war, attempting to heed Eisenhower's warning to beware of the military-industrial complex. Then we see about the third week of January 1961, President John F. Kennedy, the late President John F. Kennedy, being inaugurated. Eventually, his life and destiny would interact with the destiny and history and development of the Nation of Islam. When upon his death, the late Malcolm X would make a statement that would trigger all kinds of development in terms of the Nation of Islam. President John F. Kennedy, too, made a speech at American University touting diplomacy over blind military might, adhering to the line that we can do whatever with our powerful military industrial complex. Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld, they had industrial business interests that was involved, Halliburton and other entities from the industrial complex of America that was involved in the Iraq War, reflecting the aggressiveness of the military industrial complex that Eisenhower warned about in 1961. Couple of months later, John Lewis and others embarked upon the Freedom Rides. That journey which symbolized that in this year, the journey and quest for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding would be completed in the African-American community. And that one who would eventually say that his quest rested after years and years of travel, studying all kinds of sources to understand the language and the mythology and the doctrine and the teaching of Farad Muhammad. Imam, the blessed Hermetic Imam, Imam Waruddin Muhammad, knock, search, and sought until Allah blessed him, 1961, with great understanding of this Quran. Later on, the first Freedom Ride was led by an individual, one of the individuals that were in prison with Elijah Muhammad in the mid-40s, 44, 45. The first Freedom Ride occurred in 1947. It was called the Journey of Reconciliation. And when you come into understanding of Quran, those things that Satan had separated in man's soul was reconciled by the bringer of Quran. He reconciled all these various bags that the Shaitan had put the sons and daughters of Adam in. And a sign of this reconciliation is when he came together and led all the prophets in prayer. One of the men who led this journey was an individual by the name of Wallace Nelson, a sign that the one who would reconcile the life of the West would be one who would come bringing what Muhammad brought. So some 14 years later, the second Freedom Rides came in 1961. This thing is synchronized a few weeks after Freedom Journey, this metaphor, similar to the journey that Musa tried to take with Khadir in Surah 18. The African-American soul had been under years and years of travel, trying to reach the junction of the two seas. And Allah blessed that quest to rest with Imam Muhammad in 1961, the year that the Cuban American flag was taken down out of Cuba. A few weeks after this Freedom Ride, the man who, you know, there's all kind of things happening in China now. Explosion, stock market problems, economic problems, the whole work. China is in the focus of events, commotion followed by off-repeated commotion. Now, there's some that say that this hadith, to seek knowledge, if you all the way have to go all the way to China, it's not authentic. We'll never know. But the prophet made it clear that knowledge is the lost property of the believer. In the Chinese has a picture-based system that they call the Tao. It's not a god. It's talking about the nature of creation. The white wave and the black wave. Allah create everything in pairs in mother matter. The yin and the yang and the yin. And so the Chinese had this idea that everything in creation was synchronized and interconnected because of the law of oneness that they discovered in creation. The West lost that knowledge because they separated the Godhead. And one of their philosophers came along and created a mechanical model of the universe where the macrocosm, the objects in creation, no longer had any meaning. But the Chinese understood that everything in creation had a meaning. Scripture projects that. The sun is not just a dead body from which we can extract physical science, neither is the moon. The moon symbolizes something for the human being. The sun is a sign for something for the human being. The mountain is not just a dead object subject to geological examination. The mountain is a sign for the human being to reflect upon. So the West lost that knowledge. The Chinese had it, but it was not connected up directly to the Creator. We see this knowledge being advocated. All the prophets had it, but being used as an example with the story of Joseph or Yusuf in Surah 12, where the Pharaoh had a dream in his psyche, but the dream became manifested in physical reality, thereby demonstrating unity between the inner psyche of man, and outward mother matter. Traditionally in the West, that unity does not exist. There's a separation between the spiritual and the worldly, between the sacred and the temporal, between spirit and matter. So the tech wheel was lost. to the believers to take Willie that was lost. And this fellow, Jung, to China and brought it back to the West. But it did not belong to him and his school of psychology. It belonged to the believers because it was a lost property that God has given to his Rasuls and his Nabi. So Imam Muhammad was able to bring us back to this science that reconciled the events in inner reality with events in outer reality. The man who brought this science to the West, Carl Gustav Jung, died on June 6, 1961, as a sign that most of all these events of that year were synchronized and unified on the Lord's law of oneness, that they were interconnected and interwoven together. Now back to the July 26th movement. July 26th is the natal birthday of this individual who brought this science from China, this lost property of the believers. July 26, 1875. Some 70 years later, July 26, 1945, we see events gathering that would bring an end to Western dominance over the planet. On July 26, 2015 of this year, the conclusion of matters were reached and events were projected which, if properly analyzed and studied, suggest that we have reached the conclusion of things with Western dominance, especially Jacob controlled Gentile Caucasian male. And all the roaring, all the blustery, all the noise of this paper line, Donald Trump cannot bring that power back, cannot bring that dominance back. It's all over, Casanova. They'll never get it back. Allah has brought about conclusion of things. And Jacob has brought about his conclusion when he said he was going to allow this Gentile, this Esau, this Caucasian, this European to be his puppet until he reached his fullness. And then at that point, he was going to destroy the temple, the religious edifice, in 3 days, the doctrine upon which the European church from Constantine on to this day is basically built upon, the temple built upon the Trinitarian doctrine. July 26, 1945. 70 years after July 26, 1875, July 26, 2015, 70 years after the events in July and August, where the experiments in New Mexico along the Trinity River, where the atomic bomb was first exploded, July 16, 1945. And on July 26, 1945, the so-called Big Three, the remaining colonial powers, leaders, Truman, Clinton, and Stalin, at Potsdam in Europe, carved up the remaining European powers in terms of the vestiges of colonialism, imperialism, and white dominance. Back to 1961. A couple of months after the death of this scientist who was born on July 26, who brought the lost property back to the West, that the man eventually connected back up with the knowledge that God gave to the believers, as exemplified in Surah 12, to Prophet Yusuf, peace be upon him. President Barack Hussein Obama was born August 4th, 1961. August 4th, 1961. 2.5 months later, on October the 30th, Malcolm X and Ruston, civil rights organizer, had a major debate at Howard University, which would bring about a situation where the Nation of Islam message would eventually overtake the civil rights message. On that same day, Imam Waqf al-Din Muhammad was finally incarcerated in Sandstone Prison in Minnesota. Also in the latter part of that year, there was a Berlin Wall conflict. There's a sign, it's focused on the wall, that this man, Imam said, if you look at his name is Wall Ace, and breaking down the wall of religious symbolism. All of this occurred when Imam went to Sandstone October 30th, his 28th birthday, 1961. He put down his father's message and came upon the clear guidance of Al-Quran. So you see, all of this is connected with what appears to be this small event, I would say in the cube today, not Cuba, in the cube, on the Raul, the leader that was willing to mentor Moses and to provide a clear sense of justice because he allowed Musa to marry one of his daughters. And marriage is half of the deen. The social life, social justice. So now let's go back to this first July that we're focusing on. July 26, 1945. That year is very important. These European leaders after World War II ended, Roosevelt was dead, Churchill had been dethroned, Hitler was dead, Mussolini was dead, all was dead by April of 1945. So the remaining leaders had this meeting in Potsdam to figure out how to carve up the remaining European power. During that meeting, Truman told the other big two that they had a dangerous weapon, and a hint was sent to Japan to surrender. Last week, August 6th and August 9th, we saw the anniversary of those bombings of the Japanese city, the 6th and the 9th. And the leader of that project, the Manhattan Project, it was called, was one by the name of Robert Oppenheimer. The name Robert means the flame light of Ra, or the rabbi. And a class of rabbis believed, based upon the I Am God, God that was crafted on not the real Mount Sinai, but the Mount of Sin, S-I-N, and A-I, H-A-I in biblical scripture means disaster, a psychological warfare ambush to be used against the enemies of the Hebrews. And so the I Am means that I am becoming God. As a human being, I will be what I will be. And so in Quran, Ibrahim tells this devilish adversary, he said, it is my Lord that can give life and death. And his adversary said, I too give life and death. And so when the bomb was exploded, this Oppenheimer said, I have become like God. I have power over life and death. To me belong the milk. I have used my mind to split the atom. And many of these scientists that brought about this bomb, 90% of them at least, were people of the book, the errant ones, not the repentant ones, because some of the repentant ones oppose creating the bomb. But the one I call Leo the Lizard, while moving in London, around about the time that the Nation of Islam was founded, got a vision as to how to make the final step to deal with subatomic matter, overcome the final obstacle from blowing up the bomb, from creating the bomb. Oppenheimer made this statement, I have become God, at a place located near the Trinity River. What we don't understand, the same explosion that took place in Mother Matter had already taken place in the human soul when these ones of the flame light gave the European people the doctrine of the Trinity and separated the Godhead, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So while he was bragging that we have become God, July 26th, they sent a message to Big Three to Japan, surrender or else. A few weeks later, under the pilot named Paul, go Google S, the pilot of the Enola Gay, the name of the airplane that bombed Hiroshima, his name was Paul. And hundreds of years before, the Pauline doctrine deified Jesus and made him the Son of God, thereby opening the door for the creation of the Trinitarian doctrine that was adopted in 2325 AD. The human soul was exploded with the doctrine of the Trinity, the same way Mother Matter was exploded along the Trinity River in New Mexico. at the time that this was going on, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was in Milan prison in Michigan. And he had an epiphany or a vision as to how to rebuild the Nation of Islam when he was released. And this vision is going to eventually have more impact on human history than anything else in the history of African-American people in the West. Because his vision led to the creation of the possibility of the coming of his son into leadership some 20 years, 30 years later, 1975. Elijah Muhammad, this little bitty son of Ham, descendant of slaves, who was born in 1897, the same year of the creation of the Zionist movement. These people who thought that they had become God. God would use the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his forces to eventually check them. This is what we got to understand. Did any good come out of Nazareth? Did any good come out of Blacktown? Did any good come out of the hood? Did any good come out of Negro Town? Come and see. The good was being birthed in the dungeon of a prison cell, away from the limelight, while these other events were getting all the press. Also, at this time in New York and around near Manhattan, in Manhattan, near Harlem, and at the Columbia University, these so-called beats that would be the formulators of the counterculture. And their prime leader, Ginsberg, wrote a book called The Fall of America. They didn't know it, but they would be working in tandem with Elijah. In the Nation of Islam, Elijah also wrote a book called The Fall of America. They were developing their plans in the mid-40s at the same time Elijah had this vision. But Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, dearly beloved audience, was working, designing, planning, and his plan is strong, and he never failed in his plan. His plan is strong and unfailing. 10 years later, Albert Einstein and eight other physicists tried to start a process to reduce the nuclear weapons that they were responsible for bringing on the planet. The same year, 1955, where now the third world countries are challenging military secular colonialism and imperialism, trying to liberate the wretched of the earth. And they had a meeting in Indonesia called the Bandung Conference. And even though they were trying to ban physical colonialism, they failed because they were never able to deal with that monstrous idea that was birthed on a dome hill. Allah gave a signal, ban the dome. What was that? Born the Caucasus. And our blessed Imam said that's the Trinitarian doctrine. So, Joe Lau, Sukarno, Nehru, Nkrumah, all these powerful third world leaders never did find the solution, bust out the brains of that Trinity. By 1955, the late Malcolm X was out of prison, and he was building now the explosion that would come out of Manhattan. Not Manhattan Project in New Mexico, building the Nation of Islam under his leader all over the East Coast. The Nation of Islam growing now, developing. Ginsburg, in that same year on Elijah Muhammad's birthday, October 7th, read this poem called How, which is the official date for the beginning of the counterculture that was so influential in America in creating the culture wars that we see resulting in things like same-sex marriage. Matter of fact, Ginsburg was flouting same-sex marriage at this particular time, 60 years ago, in 1955. He was also living on Montgomery Street. And 2 months after, he read his poem, How Dr. King and Others Started the Montgomery Movement. The counterculture, the work of Elijah Muhammad in the Nation of Islam, in the movement of Dr. King, all of that would come to a head 10 years later in 1965. Malcolm X would be assassinated in 1965. The Selma movement that was started with the civil rights movement in 1955 in Montgomery would be complete. The counterculture movement now is moving to try to change consciousness with the psychedelic movement advocated by Timothy Leary. The process to open up the door and to create a storm that would open up the door for the leadership of Imam Muhammad. 10 years later in 1975 began to unfold in Lowndes County, Alabama, right after Selma. Stokely Carmichael, soon as the march was over, eased into Lowndes County and attracted my sisters and others who worked with him. And out of that Lowndes County movement came the forces of the Black Panther Party, came the Black Power Movement. But more importantly, brought the energies that destroyed all opposition to the coming of the mission of Imam Muhammad. And on tomorrow, they'll be celebrating right here in Lowndes County, Alabama, the 50th anniversary of the murder of this white freedom fighter by the name of Jonathan Mary Daniels, who went to jail and was Stokely Carmichael's roommate. When he and my sisters and others were released from jail, they went to this cash grocery store. And this sick, vicious racist, the late Tom Coleman, came out of the store with a shotgun aimed it at my sister. And Jonathan Myrick Daniels jumped in front of her, a Caucasian, and took the full shotgun blast. Today, on legal business, I had to come from a county south of Lowndes County. I went through Lowndes County, and they had just completed a memorial. On Thursday night, I talked for 2 hours explaining how the mission of Imam Muhammad didn't just grow out of the Nation of Islam. It also grew out of the Southern Freedom Movement, stimulated and catalyzed by the events of Lowndes County. As I came through, I went to this memorial for Jonathan Daniels, and I made dua. I asked Allah to forgive him of his sins and pardon him of his transgression. I thanked him for being used as an instrument to save my sister's life. Then I looked down the street and saw the store where this incident occurred. I drove down. Some people were completing establishment of this monument. I looked up on it and saw the name of my sister, a person I used to eat grits and fat back with, being memorialized forever, as long as this country exists, because these memorials, I read them and say them, they go all the way back to the Native Americans, all the way back to the Civil War, the Revolutionary War. They're all around this country. And the lady saw me, say, "What's your name?" I said, "My name is Yusuf." I said, "I'm Ruby Sales' brother." She said, "I thought I knew you." She said, "Ruby's sick. She can't make it tomorrow. But what we're going to do is to put you on program in her place." I said, "Fine, I'll come over." That's not the moral of the story. As soon as she told me that, a vehicle came right by with the name as big as Dave Wallace. And I took that as a confirmation that what I was saying about the connection between these events and the ultimate rise of the mission of Imam Muhammad. The Black Panther movement came out of Lowndes County, taken west to Oakland, California. And we know the rest is history, Huey P. Newton and the Black Panther Party. But what we never think about is that the biggest masjid in the country with the Imam's name is masjid Walter Dean in Oakland, California. Not only that, if you look at the movie by the Van Pelper Boys, they did a movie on the Black Panther Party. And at a certain critical stage, when Huey P. Newton was being released from jail, I think, he had in the background the Adon being called. He and his son figured out this connection that many imams have not made. Go back and look at that movie, and you will hear clearly what he was saying, that after they cleared this thing, and all these radical forces were killed by the FBI, then Allah brought the quiet man that came after the storm, after everything cleared in 1975. This is how our Lord works. I'm living it. I'm seeing it every day. They're going to have people from all over the country in Lowndes County tomorrow. Jonathan Daniels and Dr. Martin Luther King are the only two martyrs in North America that's listed for the 20th century. He was an Episcopalian, and they put great money and great organization behind his memory. For those students of Scripture, go and read about the story of Jonathan in Bible. He was working with an oppressed people. I'll give you that hint. This Jonathan Daniels, what was Jonathan doing in the Bible? The son of Saul. The son of Saul could go home. We need to talk about Watts of 1965. We need to talk about the anniversary of the Voting Rights Bill. We need to talk about all of these things. Let's clear the dope. We had the right to vote in 1965, but not the right to devote. After the events of the part of 1965 onward through the 60s, the advanced African-American thinkers would be moving away from the religious indoctrination that was given to us as slaves, seeking a right to the vote that was not forced upon them. Many went into Afrocentrism, African-based indigenous religion. They went all over questing, but the quest had already rested in the soul of Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad. Seventy years later, from July 26, 1945. That year of 1945 was one of the most important years in the 20th century. And this year, 70 years later, if this man Yoon was alive last month on July 26, he would have been 140 years old. The first 70 years after 1875, exactly 100 years before the Imam mission, 1975, ended in 1945, the beginning of the end of the Gentile. Elijah knows we're talking about 1914, World War One got it started, the Depression, the rise of Hitler, the destructive German military machine, the events of World War II. The process was well on the way, and it was concluded on July 26 in a manifest way, breaking the dominance of the European over Third World people. If you go and you look on July 26, the birthday of this man who brought in a secular form the Tocqueville back into prominence. The lost property of the believers that the Imam picked up, and I saw him. He said that what he would be giving us in his last address at the National Convention, that you would have to go special schools in the West. And he was tying the cities together in a synchronized way. Temple number one, temple number two, temple number three, Milwaukee, grinding at the mill, Chicago, the clucking and crowing of the rooster, Detroit, the Motor City, Dr. Masfarad Muhammad playing on the fish nature in our people. Temple number four, the old touring car getting up the hill. Tied all that together. So many of us miss these things. The Imam took control of this science away from the Western Jungian colleges. I took a hint as a student and began to explore this line of thinking. So July 26, 2015, go and get your copy of the New York Times, which reflects the signs of the times. And what do you see? A son of Ham, informally colonized Kenya, back on the continent of Africa, laying a wreath at a memorial, the land of the Mau Mau in Kenyatta, and Barack's grandfather, who was also halfway connected to the Mau Mau, if not a full participant. They attempted through the Burning Spear movement to overthrow British colonialism. They were able to overthrow the outward form of state control, but not the internal form where European missionaries through the ICAN strategy got inside of their heads. So they have not been able to rise up as forces to ban the psychic doom. But this student of Imam Wahdu D. Muhammad, the one who the Imam said represent the Hajj, and he said with President Barack Hussein Obama way before he became president that he represent goodness is on the rise. And he said maybe from that one soul that Allah will bless all of us to be encouraged. But this world has made us so negative that the weak ones have been brainwashed to not appreciate President Barack Hussein Obama. But the live ones, the alert ones, the conscious ones, the understanding ones, like this presenter, know to Imam Muhammad, President Barack Hussein Obama has no peer in the history of African American people in America. No peer whatsoever. So that was plain. One picture is worth a thousand words. But Allah is El Latif, and he really put his synchronized message in a subtle way that only the ones who look for his word could see it. Underneath that, by one who was named Taha, and his co-contributor had a last name, which is a form of Wallace. And in that article, it was talking about the fact that this Pakistani man had a name, BB. That's not a Pakistani name. That's a form, that's the nickname of Benjamin Netanyahu. And that's playing on this idea, this I am God, that I will be what I will be. And he and this son of Ham, Barack Hussein Obama, are faced off over this Iranian deal. Referring to the nuclear thing that occurred 70 years ago with the nuclear explosions over Japan. The errant sons of Jacob came up with a scheme against the Gentiles and gave them the Trinitarian doctrine. And who checked that scheme? Imam Wallace, right up under Obama. Oh, brother, that's just a coincidence. If you go further in the paper, that sign is reinforced. There's a man who has the reverse initials of Imam Muhammad, just like the bombing date of Hiroshima was on the 6th, Nagasaki was on the 9th. The 9 is a reversal of the 6, upside down, reflective of the principle of the inverted pyramid and the ascending pyramid, or the angels of God on Jacob's ladder going up and the angels coming down. So the Imam passed away September of 2008. A few days later, this Caucasian famous poet that had his reverse initials, even though the media was trying to stonewall the death of Imam Muhammad, Allah said and demonstrated, I'm going to acknowledge him. So you trying to avoid Wallace? I'm going to, because I have the book, I'm going to allow this Caucasian poet to die around the same time with his reverse initials. This man is D. Wallace, David Wallace, and the Imam was Wallace D. The Imam was Wallace D. And this author wrote a book called Infinite Jest. Which one? Infinite Jest. And when Ibrahim was challenged by his people, they had been jesting in religion. The priest class have been joshing with the masses, jesting with the masses about religion all the way back to Egypt. And so they asked him, are you one who bring the truth, or are you one who jests? And in that jest, you see the J-E-S and Jesus with the cross on the end. J-E-S-T. And Imam Muhammad was sent to expose the scheme of the elite priest class working with the rulers to play games with the masses when it comes to religion. To guess what them. And so this man wrote this book. D. Wallace wrote this book as a sign of the cosmic mission of Imam Muhammad to bring truth, to bust out of the head, the brains of the Trinitarian falsehood thought. See how powerful this thing is. That's the major synchronized event of the 21st century. July 26th, confirming that this is the day of conclusion, where as a result of the work of the Imam, Ikhlas will be established. All the debates over the nature of God are going to be concluded. We missed it because the African-American male did not buy into the Imam because they didn't want to get in touch with their original nature. After 65 and 66, the African-American male in large numbers was street poison. So a few days later, August 5th, in that same New York Times, we have a review of this book called Street Poison about the pimp Iceberg Slim. That was put in there as a sign. That book was published in 1967, the same year that the Imam made the Hajj, and that the scholars announced that Imam Muhammad would be the leader of the Muslims in America. And he told them that the Hajj represented the return to innocence. when Jonathan Daniels was murdered, the innocents in both the African American freedom movement and the counterculture movement and in the Nation of Islam after 1965, all of the innocents destroyed. And Imam Muhammad brought the innocent back to the Nation of Islam. But the African American people in general never got it back. They took on an outlaw culture, a rap culture, a black plantation culture, a pimp-based culture. Bird Slim was once released on from prison August the 7th, 1946. That's the same year that Malcolm X went to prison, but he was released on August 7th, 1952. There is an interrelationship in this white author who wrote this book on Iceberg Slim that was featured in the New York Times. He saw the connection between those rebels in African American culture like Claude Brown, who wrote Man-Child in the Promised Land, and Malcolm X, the reformed disciple of Elijah Muhammad. But the brothers didn't buy into Malcolm or Claude Brown. All that rhetoric, most of us to a certain extent, less so than Iceberg Slim, has been street pardoned, lost our innocence. Iceberg Slim understood in this documentary on him, he said he was street pardoned. He regretted he was street pardoned. He warned coming generations not to get street poison like him. And now they got this movie with Jonathan's name on it. Jonathan Herman coming out of L.A. talking about N.W.A. straight out of Compton. A mindset that codifies Iceberg Slim. Even one of their founders, Ice Cube, has his name. They didn't want the innocence of Imam Wallace Muhammad. That's why the brothers are in prison now. That's why our community are destroyed now. Our community is halfway destroyed. Because even the ones who are not players, thugs, and crooks, and pimps, they romanticize death. And everybody want to display a little thug life. God says in the Quran that he have destroyed gangs in the past. A lot of us care nothing about no thug life. What are you talking about? Go check that paper out. There's a review of another movie called Shun the Sheep. I don't care how tough we try to be with this poison street aura. We're nothing but a bunch of sheep that's been manipulated by Jacob. We're not tough. Treat us like little boys. But right in that article, Allah has mercy, and talks about another movie called Wallace in the Drama. Point out to us clearly. Remember how Wallace is brought to our attention on July 26th, the master synchronized year of the 21st century, where his Chicago residential partner, Barack Hussein Obama, is the international leader. Over in Kenya, the world leader. And with this man who published his book the same year that the Imam made Hajj, on that very day in the New York Times, is another reference. Go Google the movie Wallace and the Dromit. And when the Imam was living, he mentioned that they were trying to play on his mission, trying to mess with him and his mission in that movie. But Almighty God, who's full of mercy, is throwing out a hint to the African-American male. Put down your corruption. Put down your rebellion. Put down your thug life. Get back in touch with the original nature that the Imam experienced when he was reborn again on the Hajj in 1967, the same year that Iceberg Slim was made public. These are the works of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You sleeping in these masjids under weak Arab baby Islam, put to sleep by prayer in weak language. And so we're not alert, we're not awakened, we're not conscious of the work of our Lord. All this time, Donald Trump is out there with his trumpery, playing on the resentment of Ham, President Barack Hussein Obama. That's what it's all about. He the one that was out front with this birther movement, suggesting that this not our end. He's not even from here. We don't have to show him no respect. And because they refuse to show him respect, the presidency is no longer respected in this country. Any little clown can get out and run. And they say, Trump doesn't have to play by the rules. What? The least little time Obama stepped out of line by the rules, you had something to say. You wanted him to be perfect. Now when you got this great white male hope, there aren't any rules. You just didn't want to accept the son of Ham that's equal to you in the constellation of the stars. And these old weak African Americans looking at the news began to buy that propaganda. The Imam said one of the reasons they allowed Obama to become president was that Bush messed it up. And they didn't want to mess with cleaning it up. And they'll propagate over the news that everything is so bad in the nation. If they so bad, why 17 of you want to run up in there? You must think we're crazy. You see this man have cleaned up America, and now you want to go in on easy street. But you're so wicked and diabolic, you don't even want to give him credit. So you're still claiming it's messed up. Wall Street done exploded. In the fall, it went down to the 750s in 2008. Economy was about to explode. Two wars, Osama bin Laden on the rampage. Al-Qaeda not checked. Wall Street ran amok. No health care for the masses. Chaos everywhere. And this son of Ham came to clean it up. And now you see it, and you just running over each other, 17 strong, trying to get in there. Where was the 17 in 2008 when it was messed up? They let old man McCain and Miss Sarah Palin run for the office. They didn't want no part of it.
and they thought Obama, President Obama, would fail. In the very day of his inauguration, they were meeting around Washington, D.C., planning to sabotage his presidency. And now, any little crazy stuff and everything goes now with a potential president. You didn't respect your presidency, and now you have weakened it beyond measure because you did not pass your democratic test that all men are created equal. And you didn't want to accept this black son of Ham as your leader. So, but notwithstanding your opposition, look what happened in Cuba today. And I would be very surprised if this Iran deal does not prevail. You plan and God plan. Now, you African-Americans, you ought to take solace and faith in what Allah has demonstrated with Obama. They came against him with great opposition, but he never gave up his dignity. He never gave up his humanity. He never went crazy. He kept the faith, baby. He patiently persevered. Now things have begun to break his way. Even the Muslim brothers in the East have lost their innocence, killing up each other. The African-American Muslim brothers and sisters under the Imam, we have lost our innocence. Let's remember this innocent human being from John, from Lowndes County, Alabama, this Caucasian, who some of us back in the day would have said was a devil, innocently gave his life so that a black God woman, as we would say, could live. The Imam was an innocent man. Barack Hussein Obama, as president, has a lot of innocence about him, not to the extent of the Imam. And these diabolic individuals from BB on around who have become corrupt, cynical, and rebels against man, they have lost their innocence, and they resent the Imam, and they resent President Obama because they want to be halfway right and true, like Adam in his innocence that God has established in the picture for Adam and those who come after Adam. Dearly beloved, we're going to bring this discussion to a close. And we invite any questions. Believe me, what I just gave us in an hour and a half, really, I gave it earlier this week, and it took a lot longer. We thank Almighty God for fulfilling his plan for bringing about this day of Yom HaDin, this day of the collection of the debt against the sons and daughters of Adam, this day of Yom Kiyamah, where Adam, process of his resurrection, was completed with Imam Muhammad and is reflected in his Chicago comrade, President Barack Hussein Obama. Dearly beloved audience, America still can have a great future. The Islamic movement in America still can have a great future. But let us get back to our innocence that was reflected in the Elamine nature of Prophet Muhammad. Trustworthy, as long as that nature is innocent under God. Dearly beloved audience, As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you. Brother, young brother, if you're still on the line, I'm open for questions. If you're not, dearly beloved audience, we will discontinue this broadcast. If you listen, we thank you for your presence, and we hope and pray to Allah that you understand. Are you still there, brother?